Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
Kelly, when you're gone for 2 weeks, I go through withdrawals.
That's how longings. I felt. I'm not kidding. I really missed it. Really missed you, and I was scared that you were going to replace me.
Oh, not possible. You have not been told by me 10,000 times you are irreplaceable and one of a kind.
So sweet. So sweet. I have so much to tell you. Should I just dive right
in? Yes, please.
Okay. So I went away to a fossil farm wedding. Now, I'm not kidding. In the middle of Wyoming, my cousin gets married. We took a school bus like to this fossil farm site, like literally like in the middle of Wyoming. No cell reception. It was crazy. They had one porta potty. They did end up renting a porta potty, which is a big deal because on the wedding invite, it said we may or may not have a porta potty.
Oh my gosh. What would you do if they didn't have one?
I don't know, because I pee like a racehorse all the time. So like, I don't know what I would have done. Thank God they did.
That's a long event. That's like a or 5 hour event. I wouldn't do it.
I know.
I couldn't do it.
Thank God. Well, so they took care of us. No, but it was actually really, really cool.
How
it was
cool.
Just neat. And I don't know, like it was just a very unique wedding, obviously, but it was great, and it was great to see family. But my story is my younger son, 3 and a half.
No way. Diarrhea.
So wait, let me tell you, before you even get that far, there's some good. So I've been trying to potty train this guy since he came out of the womb, and he's been resistant and not wanting to do it. And so we're literally in Wyoming, and my older one has to pull over to pee, and so my younger one was like, okay, well, I'll pee in my diaper, I'll come out. And I was like, if you want to pee, you take off your diaper and like do it on the side of the road like the rest of us civilized people. And he was like, okay, and he did it. And then ever since then, he's potty trained with pee.
No way.
Yes.
That's all it took.
So,
a fossil farm in Wyoming.
Exactly.
Who
so
knew?
No, but there's more.
I know.
So he's like all excited. He gets to wear his underwear. We're on the plane ride home. He's like, I want to wear my underwear. I'm like, no problem. Middle of the plane ride, he's like, uh-oh. And he's like, my stomach, something happening, something coming out. Diarrhea on the plane. In the underwear. No diaper.
Oh, dear.
And thank the Lord, baby Jesus, I had a change of clothes and 2 diapers like that I had packed just in case. So, yeah, there he is.
How having bad did it smell?
It was pretty bad. Like, I like, Facebooked about it. I'm like, the person who's probably next to him is probably Facebooking, like, even a better status.
Or went to the bathroom throwing up, right?
Oh, so bad. Thank God I don't have a problem with diarrhea, as you are well aware.
Yes.
But, yeah, so anyway.
Poor little guy.
So That was the weekend.
And he didn't eat the gluten? Because you've been trying.
We've been trying, but in Lusk, Wyoming, it was pretty tough.
Oh,
there were
dear.
Three restaurants, a pit stop, a pizza place, and a Subway. So I tried my best. What can you do?
Do you think that the doctor was right then? That could be a gluten sensitivity?
I don't know, because then David got sick. So who knows? I mean, it's hard to say.
All right.
So
you made it through, and
exactly.
You sent adorable pictures. And as we've said, thank goodness those two boys are as cute as they are, because with their diarrhea, their puking, and their
everything.
Temper tantrums.
It's an adventure. It's literally an adventure.
Speaking of adventure,
yes.
You crazy woman, tell us
I
about
know.
What you did this weekend.
So I went down the slide. Okay, so it's an LA skyscraper. The US Bank building has that 70-foot slide. So I decided to do it. And with my husband for 11th anniversary, because I'm like, what else are we going to do? You know? I mean, why not just slide off a building? And here's the thing, okay? It's actually only one story. The slide itself is like only one story. So, I mean, the view is fantastic. It was great. I'd recommend it, but it wasn't like super scary. It wasn't like you were sliding down 70 feet, you know? I mean, it looked more intense than it was, but it was great. I mean, I had a really fun time.
Oh,
it was
my
interesting.
Goodness. Yeah,
yeah,
the pictures were awesome. You should put one up on our site, for docandtherapist.com.
Yes, bring it on. Bring on the adventure. What about you? I've been chatting it up. How are you doing?
I don't have anything really exciting to tell you, except that I got a bug up my butt and decided I was going to go on an organizational binge. So in my house, it was like, I'm so tired, because we're thinking of redoing the floors and carpet and hardwood. And it was like, No, we'd have to move everything. And there's like, you know, piles of stuff. It's like, oh, company's coming. Let's put that in a box and throw that in that closet. So it's like, all right, I told Christopher, this is it. We are going through. And you do not get the option of taking your shit and just throwing it in the drawer. That ain't happening. You cannot add any more shit to the drawer. You just got to dump and clean. You know, because men are markers. They love to mark. You know, it's like you have an empty shelf. Oh, next thing you know, it's filled with what?
Yeah. So that's great. So how did it go? It was okay.
Good. Yeah, we didn't fight. We got along well.
Wow.
Now I walk by the house office and it's like, oh my gosh, that's clean. A really beautiful blue couch. Where
that's
was it?
So nice.
That's a really white desk. Oh my gosh.
That's good. Your desk was like spotless when I went, so I can't imagine.
I know. The boxes, in the drawers.
Exactly, in the room that I didn't see. Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, so you did miss a great show last week. We had Marlon Young.
Yes.
And he talked a lot. We talked about like sort of gender differences and sex differences, differences in desire and such. And you know,
so interesting. I would have loved that.
Yeah. Well, he's a great guest. So he was awesome. He's a screenplay writer and an author and the audiobook, The Last Dinosaur. Really good. It's good for men to listen to. It really gives you a different perspective on sort of like a comprehensive perspective on men, including sort of old archaic cavemen types and current thinking.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Good stuff. But you were missed. As always.
Thank you.
So, last week we launched our new sponsor.
Yes.
So, we do have a word from our sponsor at this moment.
Do you swear off drugs or alcohol in the morning, only to succumb to the thought later in the day? According to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration's 2012 survey on drug use and health, it was shown that roughly 8.4 million adults in the U.S. suffered from addiction and mental health-related disorders. Vantage Point Recovery, specializing in intensive treatment for those struggling with addiction and mental health-related disorders, has a place for you. Located in Thousand Oaks, California, call us today at 888-668-5959 to see how our program may be a fit for you or a loved one.
Yay.
I like that music.
Yes. So Vantage Point Recovery is our new sponsor, and we're so excited. And today, as a very special treat, we actually have the Chief Strategy Officer, Adam Gerbman. Say that 10 times. G-E-R-B-M-A-N. Adam Gerbman from Vantage Point Recovery, who is going to talk to us about all kinds of things mental health related, his own story, and about addiction and what Vantage Point has to offer. So before we do that, I'm going to read his bio. Adam brings his unique blend of business, marketing, and life coaching experience to the Vantage Point management team. In 2008, as a direct result of Adam's own personal transformation, he left his event marketing and promotions career behind and began pursuing his true calling of working with individuals who yearned to transform their lives and live to their fullest potential. He went on to receive his life coaching certification from IPEC, the Institute of Professional Excellence in Coaching, in March of 2009. Adam immediately gained valuable experience working with various drug and alcohol treatment centers in the Los Angeles area as both a recovery empowerment coach and management consultant. He joined Vantage Point October 2011, offering group and individual empowerment coaching. His programming, which combined down-to-earth solutions with the seven levels of consciousness, spiritual wisdom, and holistic technologies passed down through the ages, has been embraced by clients and industry professionals alike. Adam is a regular practitioner of yoga, fitness, and a vast variety of
array.
I almost did that beautifully, right?
You did.
There we go. A vast array of spiritual practices. Welcome, Adam Gerbman.
Hey,
but we're just going to call you Adam from here forward.
Adam works.
Exactly.
Adam
works.
You were saying you thought that maybe the name had been changed.
Yeah, we just, there's no, if any Gerbman's related to me, to my family, so we just, somewhere along the way, we think it's been changed, and nobody ever gets it right. I've been called Gerberman, Bergman, you name it. I've been called
Gerberman for sure. That's that's where my head went.
Everyone wants to add letters or change letters.
Well, I think of the Gerber baby. Yeah, that's what I think of.
Yeah, I've been called, that was the nickname.
Oh, really?
Gerber baby. Speaking about Gerber baby, I find it so fascinating, Kelly, that you said they took care of us and that you consider one porta potty being taken care of. I think that's really a beautiful testament to your spirit, because I think porta potties are like torture chambers.
Look, it's either that or the woods. That's, you know, that true. Was like a royal palace compared to, you know, the poison ivy that we could have done.
Especially when it's hot. Oh, and you're in there and then you come out and you had makeup on, I'm sure. Right? A sweat monkey.
It was my goodness. It was pretty hot. It was pretty hot. Yeah. I know. It's so funny.
Well, we are so glad that you're here. And if anybody would like to give us a call, you can at any time at 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815 if you have any questions for us or for Adam. Adam, tell us, what brought you into this field?
Yeah, so I was in, I always wanted to be a business person from early age. When I was a little kid, I would have, you know, play delis and, you know, and you name it, I played business. And so I always thought I was just going to be in business. And just life's ups and downs and its journey led me to, you know, striving and falling. And the way I dealt with the striving and falling piece of life, not thinking it was a normal aspect of life, but thinking it was something I was doing wrong, I, you know, just turned to drugs and alcohol. And I found a real nice, safe place to be me. And it worked for a while, if I'm being honest about it. And eventually stopped working, right? Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the deal. So, at this point, my life was really crumbling, and I couldn't stop drinking, and so I knew I needed to do something different. And so, to be honest, I just wanted to stop drinking. And so I went into treatment. I went to a mental hospital in New Jersey, and 21-day psych ward, and I was introduced to 12 steps at that point. And so I got out, and I just did that kind of thing.
How long ago was that?
So that was March 2008.
Okay.
So, and don't get me wrong, I had a lot of successes in life, but the way I identify them is none of them were really sustainable. You know, with success, I mean, relationships, you know, I mean, you know, it's not like I had, you know, I had 5-year relationships and stuff, but it just, there was always, there always seemed to be some friction, and that was a big theme of it. And so then, you know, I got sober and was really introduced to a life that I so desperately yearned for. You know, like I was kind of promised that, you know, I just continued to take, do the work, and that I could start, you know, realizing some more of my potential. And those words meant something to me, and it really felt good, and it resonated, and just continued to fuel me. When I graduated college in 1994, I was working with a therapist at the time. And I remember, you know, not right out of the gate, not really liking my job. I was in finance at the time. And I turned to my therapist and said, I want to be a life coach. But I didn't think I was experienced enough. And so my, you know, I joke around with my parents and I say, you know, so at that point I went on a 12-year drug and alcohol run. I'm sure you wish I went back to graduate school, but I chose drugs and alcohol. But that's kind of how I felt I needed the experience. I'm sure it was unconscious at some point. I don't know. Maybe it was conscious. Who knows?
Right.
But that's kind of was my experience. And so all of a sudden now I'm sober. I'm feeling good. The words are making sense. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go back to be a life coach. I think I'm going to do it. And so I went into IPEC to get my certification. And I say I got certified in 2008-2009. I became a life coach somewhere in 2011-2012 when I really started to integrate the information into my being, like when my mind processed life through the information. So it was no longer something as outside of me, but it was me. And so, you know, and through that, I really, I always, you know, I was trying to keep my recovery work separate from my business life. And it's just at some point, I just couldn't do it. It just didn't make sense to do it. It was just so me, who I was, everything about me. And so I, you know, I started working in the industry. I moved out to California in December 2009 to kind of work in the industry. I came out to visit in November November 2009 with a friend who was a psychologist actually looking to get into, you know, kind of the celebrity psychology thing out in L.A. And I came to visit with her, and I was down in I went to visit a friend in Laguna Beach, and I was driving down at 6 o'clock at night. I hit PCH. The sun was setting. It was, you know, it was just, I was
gotta be here.
That was it.
Yeah.
You know, and so went home, got rid of most of my stuff, drove out here. And so I moved out here specifically to work in the industry and really gained a lot of experience. And as I said, really integrated becoming a life coach. Found Vantage in 2011. So I found Vantage because what was happening was I had dreams, I had hopes, and I was really kind of doing my thing. And at some point, I felt like I had to really be on the ground. I had to be willing to just, as the Buddhists say, chop wood and carry water, and just work with one client at a time, you know, just really, you know, become the best coach I could be. And so I knew Sheila, who's, you know, one of the owners of Vantage Point, and I reached out to her. I said, I'm just looking for a place to, you know, to call my own. And I started working there for 5 hours a week and doing other things. And before I know it, you know, I was full time. And Vantage Point is as much of my being as me being a life coach, as much as my recovery process is. Vantage Point is so a part of me today.
So you found a way to make your childhood deli pickle place.
I did. I did. Yes. And honestly, when I'm sitting in executive meetings and I'm, you know, talking and we're trying to figure things out, I go back to those times when I was this little kid and was so innocent. Like, how much should we charge for a hot dog? You know, it's like, it was just, I go back to that to really just try to bring back the innocence and, like, you know, because it's so easy to take life seriously and this stuff seriously, especially what we work with.
It's very serious. Oh my
God. Absolutely. And it's really to really try to keep that fun spirit as part of it is so important.
That's great.
You know?
Well, I happen to know a good chunk of the people who work at Vantage, and these are some of the coolest, most awesome people. You know, Kara?
Yes.
Kara, who did our website for Talking Therapist, she's there. She's interning there.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Oh, she's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are lucky enough to get Kara.
Yes. Oh, my God, that's Kara's so great. Cool. Oh, that's great.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And Dr. Shalati, Dr. Sheila Shalati, she's amazing. And I don't know, Sandra's your marketing person?
Yeah, she's our marketing coordinator. We're, you know, we've been grateful to grow, and so we've been able to hire some more people that could do, you know, some different levels of marketing and stuff. So she's good.
It'd be great, too, if you can, from your perspective, how do you guys define addiction at Vantage? What is the definition of addiction?
Yeah, so addiction, you know, we kind of define it traditionally in the same sense that it is, you know, an obsession of the mind and a compulsive action that, you know, can come together, the conjoined twins, as I like to call them. But, you know, we really think of addiction as that everyone has some form of addiction. I always like to say that you know, we all have the addiction of not being uncomfortable. And then many people do different things to deal with the discomfort. Some could do it in a healthy way. Some eventually leads to really destructive and unhealthy ways. And that's kind of the addiction aspect that we treat. I don't believe any level of addiction is healthy. You know, some people say, well, you know, fitness, addiction to fitness, at least I'm getting in shape. But I think any
addiction.
Yeah. So,
keeps you in a prison.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No freedom.
So it's that's exactly, it's the bondage of self. And that's really what we focus a lot on, the whole bondage of self. And we try to integrate some, you know, spiritual principles into our programming. But yeah, I would say addiction overall is, there's a physical component, but there is a mental, emotional, and spiritual component that we love to address.
And I know you work with a ton of different therapies, which is fantastic. Are you able to sort of run down a little bit of each one that you...
Yeah, so, you know, Vantage Point is intensive treatment. And so we understand that we're just a small part of the process. And so what we like to do is expose our clients to all different levels of all different modalities, right? So your traditional CBT, which is, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy, a lot of focus on the emotions and thoughts, emotions, and actions. You know, DBT, adding the mindfulness component to it.
Dialectical behavioral therapy,
yep.
DBT.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so funny. We take for granted because we're in the field.
Yeah.
All these acronyms for things. And yes. It's like people are going,
DBT?
Yeah. Did boys train me? DBT? Like,
that's my story. Yeah.
Even in the field, somebody throws out a new acronym and I'm saying, oh my gosh, I've been in this field for 30 years. What the hell is that?
Yeah. Right.
Actually,
right.
We got one today. Our psychiatrist in a note put H/W++ and we ran around the office and no one still knows what it is. We couldn't even, we Googled it. We couldn't even find it.
It's so funny.
Yeah. Height and weight?
Oh.
Was it a doctor?
It was a doctor.
Oh my God.
But
I'm so
but it was a psychiatrist, so why would I maybe it was
for medication.
Honestly, that's the best
best answer that we've gotten, exactly. Yeah.
Most everyone else's was like, no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I want to know if I won the prize.
I'm going to find out. What's the plus plus though?
What's the I don't know.
Height, weight, good.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I have no idea. I'm sure I'm wrong, but it sounds good.
I think you're right.
I think we'll so, too. I think you're right.
So ACT, which is Acceptance Commitment Therapy, and that, again, is another mindfulness. A lot of the vantage point, you know, all the modalities focus on thoughts, feelings, and actions and how they all interplay with each other. And then we also do have mindfulness as a big part. So we do offer yoga and meditation as not optional. It's not a marketing gimmick. It is
part
there's
of the
a
treatment.
Real
mandatory.
Reason for the
That's
treatment.
Great.
Yeah.
And honestly, probably the most resistance we get around of any group is the mindfulness.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So we either get people that love it or really resist it because you're faced with sitting with yourself for, you know, an hour. It's the longest group that we have. And it's, you know, yoga is a focus on, you know, our thoughts and feelings in movement and meditation's thoughts and feelings in stillness. And so both of them create a lot of mind and body activity.
Well, if somebody suffers, and many addicts do, having worked in the field also considerably, have a lot of shame, lack of self-acceptance, a lot of negative self-talk. So to sit with one's own mind without distractions and pay attention to that can feel like torture and torture, right?
Yes.
Until that self-acceptance comes along with it.
Yes. And so, the reality of our mind is it uses the current content, right? So it makes us, instead of saying, oh, yeah, this is me being uncomfortable and I just need to work through it, it goes, I can't believe the teacher's making me do this.
Yeah.
I can't believe Anish wasn't making me do this. Uh-huh. This is so stupid. I don't like this program and all those kind of things. And so we want the clients to have those experiences. We just want them to bring it to us. So that's where the...
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm so glad that you do that because that's what they have to face in the real world. And so thank God they can do that supported.
Yes.
You know, and sort of talk about what it brings up for them.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we really tell all our clients right from the start. Like, we're a slice of life.
Yeah.
You know, we want you to experience it here so we could then unravel it for you so when you experience it out there, you could approach it differently. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much that, you know, that kind of simple, you know, however it's so layered and complex.
No, we'll throw out some more initials, right? Okay, so you got IOP, PHP, and residential.
Yes.
Okay, so IOP is intensive outpatient.
Yep.
PHP is partial hospitalization program.
Yes.
And then full-blown residential. So what components of treatment do you
offer? Yeah, so we provide PHP and IOP. So PHP is the highest partial hospitalization. It's the highest level of care before residential.
Mm-hmm.
It's either a step down from residential or a step up from IOP.
Okay.
It is a real big focus on stabilization. So somebody is, or reintegration, right? So from a step up from IOP, which is the lowest level of intensive care. Right, so the lowest level of care is OP, which is outpatient.
Right,
so you're
that's what our clients come
exactly,
for outpatient,
right?
In our offices,
so that's one day a week, or
sure.
so forth and so on. Intensive outpatient, the minimum requirement's 9 hours. However, it ranges. We have clients that come for 30 hours as an IOP client.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
The way we differentiate PHP with IOP is psychiatry. There's a medical component.
Okay.
To the care, where in IOP, it's pure therapeutic.
That makes sense.
So, you know, there's a med component. We need to somehow create some stabilization medically. That's kind of what the PHP is about. And then, you know, residential, we view residential, I mean, there's sober living residential, and then there's residential treatment. And so we view residential as simply somebody who needs the space between them and a behavior created for them, right? That, oh, that they makes sense. Don't yeah. have the ability to do it. Uh-huh. And so PHP imply and IOP implies that you could come to our care, leave, and somehow get back to our care with some level of safety, mm-hmm. right? Sure. Maybe you're going to be activated. Maybe you're going to be upset. Maybe you're going to be crying when you get to our doorstep. All those are okay.
Right.
It's just, are you going to be able to get there safely?
Right.
And so that's kind of how we really differentiate. Mm-hmm. So if we see somebody who's not able to, you know, stay sober, or someone who's really, you know, we take all levels of clients, you know, cutters and, mm-hmm. and really some intense clients, mm-hmm. As if they're not able to stop, then we kind of try to find a higher level of care.
But Vantage Point doesn't have an actual residential component.
Yet.
Oh, cool. Huh. I'm looking.
Yet. Okay. Cool. First heard here on LA Talk right. Radio, oh, Deborah awesome. And Kelly Show.
That yes. is so funny.
Okay,
yes.
cool.
That's good.
What's
very exciting.
Because, I mean, then you'll yeah. have the whole gamut,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
And then right now, do you have sober living places in the nearby vicinity?
We do. So we work very closely with some sober livings. We look for very structured programs, mm-hmm. Just because, again, our level of intensity, we once after that, we'll kind of, you know, just refer them out to different people, and they could find, you know, more the sober living that's more transitional, like I'm looking to get back to work and stuff mm-hmm. like that. That's kind of not what we do.
Okay.
However, we do have clients for long periods of time. They're just sure. usually more acute to slightly functioning.
Sure.
We are talking with Adam Gerbman. I got it. Gerbman,
yeah.
the Chief Strategy Officer at Vantage Point Recovery, who's also a life coach and practices Buddhism and yoga and all that kind of
golfing.
Stuff. Golfing.
Golfing? That's my golf.
Oh,
golfing.
That's the East Coast accent.
I hear
that's
golfing.
It.
Wait,
yeah.
What'd
you hear?
She heard golfing.
Golfing.
You know what's so funny? I was talking to somebody from the industry, and they were in the room with somebody that knows me, and they're like, yeah, that guy with the funny accent. I've never been described as with a funny accent. I've heard accent. I've heard
right.
New York accent, a thick accent.
Right.
Never
funny
accent. Oh,
so
that,
no.
Well, that's so funny.
People think I have an accent, too.
Oh,
I hear
well,
yours
you
a little bit. You think so, too?
Oh, you do. But what's funny is, see, now I've adopted, I no longer can say H-O-R-R-I-B-L-E the regular way. I have to say it the Maryland way. Horrible.
Horrible.
It's horrible. I don't even,
so,
I can't even say horrible.
So
it sounds
funny.
So weird when I say horrible.
Horrible.
Like, what a moron.
Exactly.
Anybody who says horrible, it's fine.
I told you I went to Trader Joe's when I first moved here, and he was like, oh, you're so East Coast. He's like, your accent, your mannerisms. I'm like, really? Is it really that obvious? It was so funny.
Your mannerisms. Your
oh, really?
Energy is very,
very
East Coast.
Yeah, that is so yeah. funny.
But yeah. not harsh. A lot of East Coasterners are very harsh, I've discovered.
Right.
Not, I'm stereotyping.
No, it's okay.
But I can't.
Well, I like stereotypes.
I went on a cruise. I went on a cruise by myself when I was like 25 years old. And I'm like, I'm doing this. I'm going to the Caribbean. I'm just going to treat myself to this thing. Well, the maitre d' thought that I, being a single, you know, reasonably attractive young woman, yeah. that I would like to sit with a group of men, right?
Oh.
They put me in a group with four male New Yorkers.
Oh, my God.
Who thought that showing that they were attracted to me
yeah.
was to tease the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Oh.
To the point that after the second night of dinner, I'm in tears. Oh. And I'm saying, this is supposed to be my vacation? Get me the fuck out of this table. Then they were like following me around the ship saying, what's wrong? Like,
oh
what's
my
wrong?
God.
How many times did I tell you? That's off limits. That hurts
right.
my feelings. Don't do that.
Oh.
And you guys didn't pay attention. Well, that's because we like you. Well, are you in fifth grade? Or
exactly.
Are you in third grade? You know, it's
yeah.
like a frog in my pants and think, oh, that's fun. So,
but okay. we were saying before so. The show, there is some harshness, but I also like the integrity and mm-hmm. sort of people,
sure.
they say
I'm
it like it is, which I
yeah.
like that, you know?
Yeah,
yeah, and they say it like it is, not, I don't know, I don't find it in like a...
Not to be hostile.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
just in an honest
yeah.
way, which
right.
some people... can't handle. I
yeah.
agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
But as a sensitive little girl from California.
You're right, exactly.
A small little area in Los Angeles, Woodland Hills, where everybody was like sort of like,
aww.
You know, calmer. It's like to have that.
It's
what
a lot.
Is that?
A lot
but
of energy.
I become so much more bold.
I think
over
of you
the
as
years.
Bold. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could be a little more validating. But I think they get it. Like, they're like, okay, like, let's just move past the validation, be direct, cut
mm-hmm.
to the chase,
yep.
and just like, Get on with business.
Exactly.
Yeah, and also a level of interest in going beyond the surface, which I really like.
Yes.
It's like you could actually have a real conversation, whereas a lot of people out here, it's like, oh, no, don't touch that.
Don't touch that.
Talk about plastic surgery. Okay, the best doctor. Not what I had done.
Yeah.
It is really interesting, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. Wow. Okay, back to business here.
Yeah, exactly.
Back to Vantage.
So
you have a question?
Okay, but either one. You can go and then I'll go after.
Oh, I was just saying, I think it's great for our listeners, too, to have a good sense of the difference between treatment for addiction versus treatment for, I hate the word mental illness, but mental health issues such as depression, bipolar disorder, those kinds of things. They're in different categories, at least as such treated by insurance companies, treat them differently. Can you say anything about that in the treatment world?
Wow.
That's a big question.
Yeah, I know.
It's great.
Hand in hand.
Yeah, well, addiction, Vantage Point treats everything as a mental health related issue.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So addiction is just, no action happens in a vacuum.
Right.
Right? So addiction stems from some mental health related issue. Mm-hmm. People who come in for addiction treatment need to focus on the addiction piece to get that stabilized in order to get to the mental health piece.
Got it. Makes sense. So it's anxiety, depression,
So someone that comes in as a mental health client oftentimes can be a little more challenging for us because, you know, it's anxiety is just a normal feeling, and it uses the current content of our lives. And so everyone just kind of gets fooled that they think they're okay, but they know they're not okay. And so you don't – there's no – it's really hard to find the starting place for them.
Yeah.
So these would be people who don't have an addiction, per se, or diagnosable addiction.
Exactly.
Okay, so and they're coming in pure mental health.
Yeah, they know their lives are falling apart. They know they can't gain momentum in their lives. They know they live in anxiety. They know they live, but they don't know why.
Yeah.
And it's you know, really challenging for them. And so those are, you know, for them to seek treatment, I just think it's so courageous of them, because it's really easy to just think that's a normal part of life.
Oh, sure.
But they, you know, addiction, it's kind of a little easy. It's funny because, you know, we used to treat straight addiction and no mental health. We treated the dual piece, but like a lot of dual programs, and this is not a knock on any particular program, but a lot of dual programs treat the substance abuse and get to the underlying issue. Vantage Point really treats the mental health piece.
Sure.
And so, you know, someone that comes in, we used to think addiction was so challenging to treat. Addiction, when we get someone who really has an addiction, we're like, great, we have a starting place, we know where to go, we can build from there. We actually enjoy treating addiction. But mental health is really just, you know, trying to figure out where the discomfort inside is coming from, you know, where that void is.
Do you put them in separate tracks, so to speak, so that if somebody comes in with addiction primarily, that's a different track than the mental health piece, or you blend them?
Yeah, so Vantage Point was a mental health program. We treated everything as such. And so if we had a straight addict, at some point we just referred them out and then we would get them back. But just because as we've been growing, starting July 18th, first being heard on the Kelly and Deborah show, we will be breaking out into tracks. So we will have a substance abuse track and a mental health track. And they will they'll move from track to track depending upon what they need treatment for. And as we said, we're building out a residential along with that in order to be able to provide the most comprehensive treatment. Mm-hmm.
But
that's
awesome.
Yeah.
And are you 12-step based?
So we're not.
Okay.
We are very supportive of all outside recovery programs. We have, you know, personally, I think the 12-steps is a wonderful program that could really help a lot of people. And I could talk about that probably for an entire show.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are a principle-based treatment program. So we understand the principles of psychology and spirituality, and we integrated them into our own program. We do believe that the principles are universal, and so wherever you go, you're going to experience them. We just, you know, want to have our own our own version of it. And so we set up clients to leave with outside support, whether that's, you know, 12 steps, smart recovery, and all the other versions of it. We encourage that for them to leave us. it's not that they get exposed to it in our in our treatment.
Well, it's also very rare that there's ever any kind of treatment that's one-stop shopping, one-size-fits-all.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
There's some people that you just even say the word God and they're running for the hills.
Yes.
And then whatever you're going to give them is not going to be heard anyway. So you have to offer something else. So that's great.
Yeah. And when a client is really struggling to stay sober, we will, you know, maybe, you know, create a sign sheet that they have to go to meetings. You know, we try to make them take some level of action while under our care. When they leave our care, they can not continue to go to meetings, but something has to be done in our care. They have to make the effort in our care.
And the community aspect of 12-step is so important. Whether anybody even buys into some of the principles about it, that's just having other people who understand, who've been there, who can hold your hand when you're having a difficult moment, who get it, who knows what the triggers are, and who see the same billboards in their heads. It's like, turn off here. Go left. There's your bar.
To have that new community, because I think so many addicts, I mean, they're you know, with people who party and, you know, do drugs and drink, and so suddenly they need a new shift. They need new friends and a new circle. So I think, you know, that's what's so great about those 12-step programs.
As I think it's so important, too. I know we throw the word out there, an addict, as though it's a label, you know, like it's a, this is the noun, who you are, this is your identity. Addiction is a process, and it involves everybody within one's inner circle as well as within the community. And trying to take people out of being the identified patient, you may be the one holding the addiction, but it is a community experience that everybody needs to be a participant. Do you have a family program or some sort of
extended? You know, we believe in family, and so family for adults
we
is
our family.
Exactly. And we become that family for the clients. You know, in adolescent treatment, families have to be integrated, right? It's for usually for a treatment place to treat an adolescent, they require the family to be part. We can't obviously do that. And we wish we could because the identified patient within the family system is just, it's really challenging to break. So we would, we have a family program in the sense that we ask to integrate the family right out of, from the start. Unfortunately, not a lot of families want to do it.
I was going to say,
And it's really sad and unfortunate.
Because they have to look at themselves.
That's it.
I did all the family work for years, for 5 years running a family program, it was just, you know, the people who wanted to come had usually had some of their own therapy. They were already familiar with the process of understanding that it was a community disease, so to speak, not just an individual just carrying the bag. And but those others that just wanted to just go fix them, just put them in there and fix them. I have nothing to do with that.
Of course, right. Sure.
And then, you know, for mental health clients who oftentimes it manifests maybe in defiance, sometimes aggressive behaviors, you know, that, you know, is met with the same level of energy oftentimes, right? So it's met with aggression. It's met with, you know, get out of my face kind of stuff. And so now you have, you know, instead of looking at the person as sick and that the actions are just a byproduct of something inside them, that it's not personal, you know, you get people that start to cut off family members and, you know, and it's really sad. It's really sad to watch, you know.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
Tough. Is there a detox component to it?
So we outsource detox right now. You know, if the client continues to, you know, relapse or before they get to our care, they have to, you know, if, you know, we'll send them to detox, and we have a lot of great places that we use.
Will the residential component have a detox?
It will.
Oh, okay.
It will.
So that's right around the corner.
Yeah, it is.
And so do you participate with the actual clients, or are you kind of behind the scenes?
So as you heard, I was started at 5 hours, and eventually I was seeing clients around the clock.
Yeah.
And so I used to do a lot of groups as well. So I just I had one group left. And I loved it. I am off the next schedule, so it's my first time at Vantage Point without a group or a specific individual client. However, so we have therapists, and then we have admin. And so Vantage
administrative.
Administrative. Thank you. And so we would like everything to be addressed therapeutically because we do think it's, you know, that's where the work is. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes things like attendance, where it is an indication of something the client is struggling with, mm-hmm. oftentimes could appear to be an administrative issue versus a therapeutic issue.
Right.
So I do get to work with a lot of the clients mm-hmm. because they are some level of noncompliance sure. oftentimes, especially yeah. with the level of client that we treat. So I'm the one, me and the assistant clinical director, mm-hmm. we're the ones that deal with all the administrative issues. So I sit with a lot of the clients. Mm-hmm. But usually if it gets to my, I've gone from the coach to the parent.
Oh, uh-huh.
Right? So it's like, go, yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so I'm still dealing with the clients just on a very different level.
Sure.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
One of the things that I noted when I was doing a lot of that hands-on work was how people will come in and they're very, very gung-ho to get treatment right away because they're really suffering. Like, it's that point where you just see that your world has just crumbled. And somewhere within, like, a week or two being in the program, it's like, this is bullshit. And
right,
you're
right.
meeting my needs. And all of a sudden, this, like, flare of entitlement comes in. Do you notice
oh,
that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The ego rebuilds. And, you know, that's why treatment needs to happen once that break happens mm-hmm, or that mm-hmm. white light experience or how, and there's so many mm-hmm. different ways to describe that experience where all of a sudden somebody is entrenched in some level of addiction or, you know, mental behavior and all of a sudden there's a break in it and you're like, that's the hope and the opportunity. But man, that ego rebuilds pretty fast and it's amazing to watch the system want to pull the person back to the status quo.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Of course. And that's what's always so sad and tragic when families won't participate because they will, let's say, like a parent sends a 25-year-old son into treatment and then the son starts calling and saying, this place is horrible. They don't do this for me. They don't do that for me. And then enlists the parent to become sabotaging, to basically mm-hmm. say, oh, I don't want you to be suffering. I don't want you to be in a bad place. And so it's kind of like splits the, you know, the program's the bad one and this one is the victim, and that cycle gets created all the time.
Yeah. And you know, we do our best to try to inform the parents. If we're starting to see that, we immediately call them. We make sure the parents are on consent.
Good.
When they're not on consent,
hands are tied.
Mm-hmm. And usually when somebody doesn't sign consent for family to be part of, that's an indication for us. And so we could kind of map out a treatment strategy accordingly. Mm-hmm. It's with that because it's so easy for it to just fall apart.
I have a question for both of you. What movie do you think represents like what a real sort of typical either detox or residential is?
Even like, a scene in a movie or something that
we're not a scene, but just like a movie, like 28 Days Later. Yeah. What movie do you feel like sort
the Sandra Bullock one? 28
yeah.
Days.
Yeah, 28.
20
days.
Oh, not
yeah,
later,
I don't think that was all that realistic that portrayal.
Yeah. So I'm curious if you have a thought.
I'm a terrible movie name.
Oh, really?
Remember?
Okay.
That's just not my thing.
What was the Nicolas Cage one that was...
Leaving Las Vegas?
Yeah, Leaving
Las Vegas. Of Addiction. Yeah. That was a powerful one.
That
was
really powerful.
That was actually one of my favorite movies in terms of demonstrating
that's a
great
question. Right, it's always like I'm such a movie person, and all of a sudden when you're called upon to...
I know, to answer it, you're like, Or when someone's like, what's your favorite movie? You're like, huh? And then,
I remember some fun... just movies that were about like mental health and stuff. Dream Team. Does anybody remember that one?
No.
Okay.
Was
of
it good?
Course, I could. Well, you know me. I can't now come up with the names of the actors. Yeah. I can see them, but I can't name them.
I think Requiem for a Dream.
Oh.
So the intensity level of that and some of the graphic, you know, nature of it. I mean, I guess it could be honest, but the progression. Of watching this everyday woman become an addict and just
I never saw it.
Oh. I didn't see it either.
I was really too scared. Oh. I'm like, literally, I was too scared because someone was telling me, like, it's really intense.
See, I actually had... I made a decision to watch it twice.
Oh, my God.
Forgetting the first time around. Ah. And it's really, really super intense. That's up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
That or we'll come up with it in our sleep.
Yeah. Lack of sleep. Exactly.
But I don't sleep.
Exactly. Right? Not her.
Pretty colorful, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I was showing Kelly and Adam my Fitbit sleep pattern.
Or lack
very
of.
Colorful. Lack yes. of sleep pattern. Oh, my gosh. So funny. You'll not believe this, but we have 5 minutes left.
Wow.
Can you believe that, how fast this went? So what other things should that we haven't asked you directly that you think people would be...
Should know.
Yeah, I think the number one thing that everyone should know is that doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what walk of life, what you're going through right now, that... We believe, and we don't, and it doesn't come from nowhere. We believe every single person has a part of themselves that is unrealized, unlimited potential, and that we also believe that everybody on this planet has a story, mm-hmm. and that's layered over that part of themselves. And so, with awareness of the story, with awareness of that part of them that is protected from the story. Mm-hmm. When you start to create some space and people understand really who they really are, we could. That's where the work could happen. Mm-hmm. I just hope everybody could understand that doesn't matter what you've done, what you've been through, there's hope. Yeah. There is hope.
And you deserve happiness.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And then people mired in shame and too afraid to just come forth, just to recognize and understand that, you know, sometimes people have gotten themselves into a lot of trouble. They've operated outside of their value system. You know, good people mm-hmm. sometimes do bad things when they're struggling and suffering from mental health issues and addiction. And that's okay, because it's better to get off that path and back onto the path of your own inner core values and getting in sync with yourself than to keep going down that other path.
Yeah, right. And I think important is to understand what your core values and beliefs are. I think a lot of people just have taken them on, which is why we mm-hmm. see so much, you know, things in modern day society, and we go, why is that still even around? Mm-hmm. And it's because it's just been passed down from generation to generation. People are unaware of it. And so the recovery process allows you to explore who you are mm-hmm. and what made you who you are, and gives you an opportunity to just become who you want to be. And I just think it's a real magical process that I wish everybody would you know, participate in. I really do.
Where do you see the industry moving in the next 5 years?
Yeah, I think it's going to consolidate on a lot of levels. You know, unfortunately, the insurance climate is what it is. And mm-hmm. so I think it's going to consolidate, and I'm hoping that allows for really strong treatment programs to emerge. I do see that. Mm-hmm. I know Vantage Point, that's how we are planning ourselves, laying strong infrastructure on every level program financially to really, we're building ourselves to last, not for profit, even though obviously you have to keep the lights on and do all those things.
Sure.
It is really to really have a sustainable organization to really be a pillar in the community mm-hmm. for mental health and addiction treatment.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so great hearing your story.
Oh,
and thank you for being so honest, because I'm sure it's so inspiring to others. And
I really appreciate that. Yeah, this was cool. I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, a walking, breathing example of somebody who's vibrant, enthusiastic, likes energy. And I'm sure that at a point in your life, it got pretty dark.
It got very dark.
Yeah.
It
mm-hmm.
definitely got dark. It got, you know, to a point where I didn't know that there was a part of myself that mm-hmm. wasn't who I was being. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was my experiences, I was the things that I did, and I just didn't know mm-hmm. how I would ever get myself out of it. You know?
Adam Gerbman, Chief Strategy Officer from Vantage Point Recovery. It is such a pleasure to have had you on the show, and let's play the commercial for Vantage.
Do you believe your problems of today are going to last forever? This may be a sign of a mental health-related disorder. According to the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration's 2012 survey on health and drug use, it was shown that roughly 8.4 million adults in the U.S. suffered from mental health and co-occurring disorders. Vantage Point Recovery, specializing in intensive treatment for those struggling with mental health and co-occurring disorders, can help you make forever problems temporary. Located in Thousand Oaks, California, call us today at 888-668-5959 to see how our program may be a fit for you or a loved one.
And by the way, if you have never been to Thousand Oaks, even though that's where I live, it is a very beautiful area.
I love it. It's so,
so
nice.
So hilly and pretty. And
there's
so many areas.
There's a calmness around it, too.
It is, for hiking and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so thank you so much. Next week,
yes,
we have Maggie Phillips, who's going to be talking to us about working with the child within, which is actually a great segue after today's show, because that's some of the depth work that needs to happen, dealing with those childhood wounds and
I'll be listening.
That stuff. You'll be listening.
Cool.
And we hope you'll all be listening.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.